2 Corinthians chapter 1. We'll read verses 9 and 10. Amen. God bless you. We stand in honor to the word of the Lord. Very, very thankful you're here today. And we want the word of the Lord to minister to our lives and be directed by him. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's read together verses 9 and 10. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Praise God. Notice the emphasis in verse 10 on deliver. He delivered us, and he doth deliver, or it's happening now, and we trust that he will yet deliver us. That's what we're looking ahead to, yet deliver, and that's what we'll call this today. Amen. I'm thankful for the history of deliverance that we can look back on and trust God for and celebrate that deliverance, and the deliverance that is going on now. Amen. But oh, I look ahead. Amen. Praise God. Because that deliverance is going to be final deliverance. Amen. Amen. Thank the Lord that we can be assured in God's word of what he is going to do. You may be seated. Now, the necessity of deliverance is established also in this passage, because the apostle said, we had the sentence of death in ourselves. That sounds pretty drastic, the sentence of death. But you have to realize that the devil is drastic, and his deceit is drastic. Sin is drastic. It's kind of joked about in our age. It's laughed about. The devil made me do it, and so on. And it's excused. Nobody's perfect, and that sort of thing. But in reality, the scripture lets us know that the death came about because of sin. Ephesians 2 and 1 says, you were dead in trespasses and sins. Those trespasses and sins brought about a spiritual death. But you hath he quickened. And that word quickened, we know, means to impart life. Dead because of sins is the reality. Eve heard Satan say, you shall not surely die. And the temptation then was so great that she gave in. And disobedience brought death. Not a physical death in the sense that she fell down dead, but what died was her special relationship with the Lord. That special opportunity that she had for fellowship with God and a wonderful relationship. It was gone now. It was no longer there. They hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. The condition of man without God is what requires deliverance. And the apostle is very firm. Don't trust in yourself. Don't lean on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord and let him guide you and provide for you. Now, the reason we put our trust in the Lord is also included in what we read in these two verses. He says, don't trust in yourself, but in God, who raised the dead. Someone who can do that is worthy of your trust. Someone who has that kind of power is able to take care of your needs. Someone who is able to make those kinds of changes can make changes in your life through deliverance. Praise God. Oh, the Easter season is a special time, a wonderful time to remind ourselves of how powerful our God is. Now, a man named Zacharias in the Bible gave a prophecy. He and his wife Elizabeth were to become the parents of John, and we know him as John the Baptist. His tongue was loosed after the birth of his son. There's quite a story here about Zacharias. I don't have time to go into it all, but Elizabeth, in her advanced age, carried John, and Zacharias carried a writing tablet because he didn't believe what the Lord was able to do, and so his tongue was struck dumb until the birth of his son. But he made up for it. He extended a great prophecy. And Luke chapter 1, in verse 71, he makes this comment about being saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us. He continued that theme or that idea in verse 74, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. It's interesting that he is making reference to enemies here and the hand of enemies. He was not referring to political enemies like the Romans. He was not referring to political dominance in the educational or intellectual world like the Greeks. He was referring to spiritual enemies. And being delivered out of the hand of our enemy, he's making reference to the close proximity of that enemy coming right near you. That's what the devil likes to do. He likes to be right next to you and telling his deceits, prompting you to disobey or not believe, and certainly not follow through in a relationship with God. He does that. In fact, the enemy is so near, he can actually be in your heart with lies, with deceit, and with problems. But thank God, Zechariah went on with his prophecy to talk about deliverance, and it's a spiritual deliverance. In verse 77 of Luke chapter 1 again, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. Again, it's not a deliverance in the sense of get those Romans out of here, get the Greek influence removed. Let's be sure that we're all speaking Hebrew and we all understand what the law says. That wasn't Zechariah's prophecy. He was referencing a spiritual deliverance. In verse 78, he goes on, the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. Verse 79, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet unto the way of peace. Thank God that the Lord knows how to bring that kind of deliverance. Now, it's deliverance with a purpose. It's not deliverance just so that we have the freedom and license to wander and do and think and act however we want. It's deliverance with a purpose. Galatians 1 and 4, he gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. We're delivered from, and because we're delivered from, there's a deliverance to. Amen. And that deliverance to is the will of God and his plan in our lives. The woman that is described in John chapter 8, a woman who knew great embarrassment and humiliation. She also knew that death was just a stone's throw away. In fact, several stones. They were ready to stone her as an adulteress. But thank God, she was delivered both from stoning and from the weight of guilt. Because Jesus said, neither do I condemn thee. Oh, thank God for his forgiveness. Thank God we can be in the Father's hands. Thank God we can know his love and his mercy. But the purpose was revealed as well. The Lord didn't just say, neither do I condemn thee, and let her go on her way back to a lifestyle that brought such shame and guilt. No, he said, go and sin no more. Amen. There was a mistake in the printer's shop that printed a Bible that said, go and sin on more. They got the letters reversed. And that's how some people think. The Lord's forgiveness is there so that I can just go and live in freedom, and His grace is good anyway. I can just do whatever because He's going to forgive me anyway. That's not what the Word says. Go and sin no more. Thank God for a great purpose that the Lord can reveal. But now, notice the past, present, and future of what we read from the book of Corinthians. How that the Lord, He had delivered us, He is delivering us now, and He will yet deliver us. Praise God. I'm thankful we can look in the Word of God and see example after example of deliverance. David, for example, is a young man visiting his brothers, and Goliath, the champion of the Philistines, is making his challenge. Send a man out here and let him fight with me. And none of the Israelites were willing to answer that challenge. But David stepped forth as a young man, saying, "The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." Now in verse 37 of 1 Samuel 17, this is the third time that David is reminding them, "He delivered me out of the paw of the lion, He delivered me out of the paw of the bear, He will deliver me out of the paw of this," or not paw, but the hand. He could have said paw, I suppose, of that big old giant of a man standing there. "He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." Thank God. What David was doing was drawing on his experience, and he was showing evidence, and he was giving himself encouragement. You can do that. And what the Lord has done in your life is your experience of how He has answered prayer. The evidence that's there over and over as you look at what God has done, and the encouragement that you can have in yourselves as you walk with the Lord. Amen. King Darius was one who made a decree. And about Daniel and how he ended up in the lion's den. But after the deliverance of Daniel from the lion's den, King Darius made another decree, another observation, another proclamation. He said in Daniel 6 and 27, "He delivereth and rescueth." He's talking about Daniel's God. "He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and in earth. And He hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions." Praise God. I'm glad God is a God of deliverance. I'm thankful that we know the power of the Lord. The Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 3 and 11 would tell and testify about how great God is and His afflictions that he lists. He said, "Out of them all, the Lord delivered me." And he listed some of those persecutions, some of the places that took place. In Antioch, they were opposed with great contradiction and blasphemy from those who opposed him. In Iconium, they had an assault was planned to abuse and stone the Apostle Paul, but they were able to escape. And then finally at Lystra, they actually did stone him. But the disciples stood around and prayed, and Paul rose up and walked into the city. Now you would think, after that kind of treatment, after that kind of damage and punishment, he would have to be carried into the city and laid in a place of rest and recovery, recuperation for several weeks. But the next day, he journeyed on to the next place because God knows how to deliver. Amen. There were times that the apostle recognized that he would have to stand alone, but he wasn't standing alone. He said, "The Lord stood with me and strengthened me, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion." And he had this confidence. He said, "The Lord shall deliver me from every evil work." Praise God. The psalmist would let us know about the deliverance that he experienced. Psalm 56 and 13. "Thou hast delivered my soul from death." That sentence of death, that problem of mistakes and wrongdoing and failures and faults and so on. "He delivered my soul from death. Won't you deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before the before God in the light of the living? Amen. Oh, I'm thankful our past doesn't have to hold us back. I'm thankful our past doesn't have to sink us into disappointments and failures and difficulties that we're not able to arise over. I'm thankful we can be delivered from sin and guilt. Thank God that asking the Lord for forgiveness, an attitude of repentance that says, God, please forgive me. God, please change me. God, help me so that I can serve you and please you. God answers that kind of prayer. God delights in answering that kind of prayer. The angels celebrate in heaven with that kind of prayer because God's forgiveness is so wonderful. Amen. And we can be born again through the power of the waters of baptism in the precious name of Jesus and the infilling of his wonderful Spirit that changes our lives with deliverance that is so great. Amen. Colossians 1 and 13 says he delivered us from the power of darkness. Darkness has power. Not darkness in the sense that we've changed our time and it's going to be better for whatever. I'm not sure why we do this because it's going to be light all the time anyway here in a few weeks. But the power of darkness. Darkness through deceit of the devil. Darkness through the deeds of our flesh. Darkness through sin. It has power. But I'm thankful the Lord delivers us from that power and translates us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Thank the Lord from the power of darkness into marvelous light. Delivered from the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of Jesus. Hallelujah. That's our past. And then our present. He knows how to deliver. He told us to pray, deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. The Lord is not going to be just a tiny space of time and an emergency where the power goes off, the light comes on, we know how to exit. Or a fire extinguisher that we grab and put out the flames in just a matter of seconds. Our God is there for a long time. He's there forever. Hallelujah. Thank God for the power and the blessings of the Lord. David made this observation in Psalm 34 and 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, and the righteous can say amen. But the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Out of them all? Really? All? Oh yeah. Thank God. In verse 4, David said, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Verse 6, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Verse 17, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Thank God that we can keep trusting the Lord. We can keep calling upon him. We can keep believing him for being delivered from all. The shield of faith will quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. 2 Corinthians 9 and 8 says, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. That's the kind of deliverance that our God is able to do. Amen. Peter's second letter in chapter 2, he talks about deliverance quite extensively. He says that the angels that sinned have been delivered into chains of darkness. There's a deliverance to judgment as well as the deliverance from judgment. There's a deliverance to judgment, and repentance makes all the difference. Amen. He delivered Noah, a preacher of righteousness. He delivered Lot from Sodom and Gomorrah. Peter is in his second letter, second chapter, he's writing about these aspects of deliverance. And in verse 9, he says, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations. Oh, thank God. The Lord knows how to bring deliverance. The Lord knows how to make a change. The Lord knows how to bring his power and his blessing. Amen. I'm thankful Brother David Gilbert is here, delivered from a heart attack, delivered from 5 bypass open heart surgery, delivered from tobacco, because God knows how to bring about a deliverance. Hallelujah. Thank God there's a deliverance from disease. I remember Brother Yance, an elder preacher. He's gone now onto his heavenly reward. But Brother Yance, I remember looking at his fingers, and they were bent and all crooked, and from the rheumatoid arthritis that the Lord healed him from. Didn't stop him from fishing. He was up here fishing a lot. Praise God. And oh, I'm thankful that the Lord knows how to do a deliverance. We heard a tremendous report about the revival at the United Nations. We heard just recently that the reports of healing has caused faith and interest to arise in those diplomats that are there from around the world. And the wife of one of those diplomats was healed from stage 4 cancer. That happened just recently. Praise God. We saw on the video, and you can still access it on the internet. You can still hear Brother Stone King's a message to the United Nations about being raised from the dead. That's the kind of deliverance our God can do right now. Amen. We celebrate resurrection, and rightfully so, but our God is raising the dead right now. Amen. His power is being displayed in that regard. I encourage you, go to YouTube or wherever you need to go, and put in Lee Stone King and listen to his talk at the United Nations about God raising him from the dead. The report is that it's on the United Nations website, and every 5 minutes, 250 people around the world are accessing that and hearing about the great things that God can do. Oh, our God knows how to deliver. Our God knows how to do great things. Hallelujah. And we are His ambassadors. We're not at the United Nations, but we're His ambassadors. It's what the Word of God says. Amen. And we're given the word and ministry of reconciliation. The disciples were delivered from prison in Acts chapter 5. And the angel that delivered them said, "Go, stand, speak to the people all the words of this life." Praise God. I'm thankful it's not the words of this bondage. It's not the words of this destruction. It's not the words of this terrible event, but it's the words of life. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. The power of the Lord that is so great. So He will yet deliver us. He will yet deliver us. Esther could have held her peace. She could have just trusted in the fact that she was now in the king's palace, godly and beautiful and promoted to that place. She could have just said, "Well, I refuse to identify with the people who are being subjected to this threat and this destruction." But her uncle told her, "If you hold your peace, deliverance will arise from another place. But who knows but whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this." And what an incredible story of deliverance. And the Jews still celebrate it today with a celebration in the fall. Oh, thank God you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. There is a word that you can share. There is a deliverance that you can declare. There's a deliverance that you can celebrate. Praise God. And we trust He will yet deliver us, because God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able, but He will, with the temptation, make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13 is still in the Word of God. Thank the Lord we can put our trust in a God who is faithful. Jude 24, "Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy." He's able to keep you. He's able to present you. And there's exceeding joy that is going to take place. I'm glad we serve a God of deliverance. Amen. And oh, I'm looking forward to yet delivering, a catching away of the church. There will be a voice. There will be a shout. There will be the trumpet. It's going to be noisy. Praise God. Might as well get used to it. Hallelujah. But we're not trusting ourselves. We're trusting the one who can raise the dead. The dead in Christ are going to hear him and rise first. And we which are alive and remain, praise God, not dead and dried up. No, alive through the power of the Spirit of God. Alive because of deliverance that God has brought in our lives. And remaining in our walk with him. Remaining in our commitment with him. Remaining in our relationship with him. Not in and out, roundabout, and up and down, and over and out, and so on. No, we're continuing on. Alive and remain. Shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Oh, how incredible. What an incredible deliverance to ever be with the Lord. Ever. Praise God. I'd like for you to stand with me. You see, that deliverance requires preparation. Just as in Exodus chapter 12, they were getting ready to leave Egypt. They had the Passover lamb. They had the blood to apply. They had the lamb to eat. All of those preparations. There's preparation for us today. Get ready. Get ready. Praise God. The necessity of repentance, baptism in the name of Jesus, the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Thank God we can be ready and then continue in that walk of deliverance. Why is it past, present, and future? Why did the apostle make reference to it? He had delivered us. He doth deliver us. He will yet deliver us. Because Hebrews 13 and 8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank God he takes care of our yesterday. Our past doesn't need to hold us back. It doesn't matter what has been done. The blood of Jesus cleanses us. The blood of Jesus takes away all sin and unrighteousness. When we repent, thank God, he washes us clean in his blood. Amen. We're baptized. We receive his Spirit. Thank God. He takes care of our yesterday. He takes care of our today. And he will take care of our future. A future that's forever. Forever. Amen. Oh, thank God that we can be ready. Thank God we can be prepared. It's not a difficult thing. You would think something so wonderful, something so powerful, something so incredible would require a great deal of preparation at great cost, great expense, great effort. No, very simple. I'm glad God makes it simple. Amen. And we take those steps of obedience so that we can move into that realm of deliverance. Amen. I was delivered. I am being delivered. I will yet be delivered because our God loves us. His love is so great. Amen. I'd like for you to come forward here now and let's join into a time of prayer. Let's ask the Lord to help us and that we could be prepared, that we could be ready. Amen. That the blessing of the Lord could be in our lives, that deliverance would continue. No dominion of the devil, no. The power and the blessing of the Lord. Amen. And how he is able to minister in our lives as we put our trust in him. Praise God. Let's lift up the name of Jesus. Let's thank him for that deliverance. Let's worship him together. Hallelujah.